Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We ask you to bless us with understanding concerning the things that are coming, and of course, grant us repentance from anything that would give us your favor in these coming days. There's a great threat coming against the church. So we thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for understanding today. In Jesus' name. Well, all right. I'm going to call this The Invasion to Chasten the Apostate Church. So many of you may not know about this, but the invasion through Mexico has turned into tens of thousands of migrants. And it is happening. There's a couple of videos on the top of InfoWars. I'll put the links to them here, but you can go to InfoWars and get them. And RT also has pictures of this horde of people that has been raised up. I believe this is a plan of the deep state elite, the Democratic Party, and the UN to do in this country what they've done in Europe and Scandinavia. In pictures taken of them, they look to be almost all young males who are, in effect, coming to vote and to overthrow democracy. UN blue hats seem to be leading it. Although they don't look like UN troops, they look more like angry thugs with UN helmets on. They are giving these people money and voting registration papers, believe it or not, with the citizen box already checked. These are being mailed and given out to illegal immigrants in Texas, too, and no doubt elsewhere. This is, of course, an attempt to overthrow the election illegally, which, of course, these people are very good at. The president has said that he will send the military to the border, but they probably will not be able to stop them all when invasions from Mexico have happened in the past. It was discovered that though they look Mexican, many of them don't speak Spanish. And but instead, they speak Arabic. Pretty interesting. No doubt ISIS and MS-13 are also invading, since Trump has promised a war against them in men are swimming the Rio Grande. Plus, there are many radical Islamic cells in the United States who have been practicing for their opportunity to attack. The deep state has to move now before the indictments are unsealed. And they have to move now in order to win this election, and they know it. But let me say that through all this invasion, the opportunity for martial law is becoming greater and greater, which will untie the president's hands to do what he wishes with the lawbreakers. In other words, Gitmo, etc. We pray through all of this that many from every walk, right or left, will repent and receive Jesus. Because it's not going to look good. Let me say that in effect, it's going to be good, but it's not going to look good. And people are going to lose their lives. I'm remembering John L.'s vision. He said, "The Lord took me to the streets of America, and I saw all the cities on fire. We have 8 million Muslims in America. And when the war breaks out in the Holy Land and America gets involved, 8 million Muslims will burn America to the ground." We've had other visions of people seeing America on fire everywhere. Dimitri Dudeman had just such a vision as this. He said, I saw women coming into America, Muslim women coming into America, and in their inner body parts, vials of anthrax and biochemicals. And I saw 180 million Americans die in a 72-hour period. Well, we learned today that the Mexicans stopped the invasion through Mexico partially. They were interviewing the women, and because there was very few of them among them, and women and a few children, and they were sending many of them on to the U.S. immigration. So women are getting through. That's interesting, ain't it? Why does it say just the women are releasing the plagues? While I was working on this, Charlie Smith, he and Linda Smith years ago had a revelation of Muslims marching through our land killing people. And they were using knives and swords and whatever, you know. And he went to a city and saw that this is what was happening. Both of them did, actually. And it was very interesting because they both woke up with the same revelation. And, you know, on the day that we saw the report of the invasion, which is yesterday, we got these verses by faith at random, which speak of the judgment on apostate Christianity. And I put my own notes in here with the words that people got. And I'll share them with you because they're dead on the money, just as they have been all along, right on. This is going to be a chastening for Christianity because Christianity is in such a rebellion against the Word of God. I think they have a right to make a religion after their own making, something that pleases them, pleases the flesh, that demands no sacrifice of the flesh, no cross to bear, easy Christianity. Sorry, there isn't any such thing. So, Brandy got Psalm 27, 1 through 3, and I think it's all about the righteous should not fear the attack on the wicked, because this is for the purpose of cleaning up Christianity, separating people from the apostate churches, getting them prepared to go to the wilderness, right? So, Psalm 27, 1 through 3, it was a psalm of David. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? David here also could be a representative of the man-child ministry. When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh. He's an expert at that, and so is the man child today. Even mine adversaries and my foes, they stumbled and fell. That's the norm. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Well, there is a host out there. And you know how few people it takes to really cause an awful lot of trouble? Well, this is not a few people. Though war should rise against me, even then will I be confident. Yeah. And, of course, there's those in the country that are ready to go out and do a lot of trouble, too. They've been given orders of what they are to do and who they are to take out, etc. And Michael Hare got this. Judgment is coming. This is my thought. Judgment is coming to the backslidden church and the U.S., Ezekiel 7, 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, an evil, an only evil, behold, it cometh. An end is come, the end is come. It awaketh against thee. Behold, it cometh. Thy doom is come unto thee, O inhabitant of the land. The time is come, the day is near, a day of tumult. This is a common word we've been getting lately, tumult. I mean, if you see that horde coming up through Mexico, it is a tumult. And not of joyful shouting upon the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my wrath upon thee, and accomplish mine anger against thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and I will bring upon thee all thine abominations. Yes. We have become an abomination. So we're trying to overcome that. But the problem is the churches are the people that God cares for. They are the people that everything here was created. The atmosphere and everything was created to bring to repentance these people, the kingdom people. The world doesn't exist for the world. It exists for God's people. And it is the ground, it is the dirt in which they've been sown and the place wherewith they have to come bearing fruit, right? And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will bring upon thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee. And you shall know that I, the Lord, do smite. Behold the day, behold it cometh, thy doom is gone forth, the rod hath blossomed, pride hath budded. If there's anything that's taken over the churches, is pride. And Missy got this. And my thought is, this text, it's about the factious slanderer against the righteous, which in this case was stopped by God. Job 15:1-6. Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, should a wise man make answer with vain knowledge? He was falsely accusing Job, as God said, too. And fill himself with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Yea, thou doest away with fear, and hinderest devotion before God. For thine iniquity teacheth thy mouth, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Well, now, these are good words and true of some people. They just pointed them at the wrong person. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Well, judge not, lest ye be judged, right? Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. So this man, you know, judged, and he was judged. The wicked will be judged by their own hypocrisy that they blame the righteous with. And Sue Farah got this, which I believe represents those who ignore the word and will be judged. We are the church of God. We're supposed to be submitting to God, who is the Spirit and the Word. And, of course, what we have as Christianity looks nothing and resembles nothing to the church that we see in the Bible. It's turned away from the Word. Let's do it our way. What's comfortable to the flesh instead of crucifying the flesh. Psalm 119:116-120. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and shall have respect unto thy statutes continually. Yes, we have to pray that God put that desire in us to fear Him, and to obey His word. Let it be our guide in everything. Let the traditions of men fall by the wayside. And if they won't in the church you're in, get out of it, right? It'll be disastrous. 118. Thou hast set at naught all them that err from thy statutes. Look at that. All of them that err from thy statutes. For their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is it not? When you don't fear the Lord, who is the Word of God, this should make people tremble. He is the Word of God. He is not the modern churches and not the Baal that the modern churches put forward as Jesus. And so we have to get back to the Word. It's the only safe place. And Sue Gilbert, she got a text here that I believe speaks of regenerate Jerusalem, the bride, who will have a Passover. You understand there are two parables in the scriptures. Both of them are true. One of them speaks of the Jerusalem that is apostate and has led its people into destruction and into captivity. The other is regenerate, not degenerate, regenerate Jerusalem, which is the bride. They are the true leaders. It's kind of the thing that you saw in Jesus as leader, as opposed to the Pharisees and Sadducees as leaders. One of those Jerusalems had to die. Jesus was the son of David who sat on the throne of David, which was in the real Jerusalem. But the false Jerusalem was the one that had to die. And, of course, in 70 AD, it did. So here's this Passover that Sue, Revelation 22 and 14. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city. Yes, these people have a Passover, meaning the destroyer will pass over them and take out others. And Judy got a text that speaks of those who trust in man or man's government and how that they're under a curse. You know, a lot of people are worshiping the president. And by the grace of God, he has done something that no president before him has been able to do. But it's still the Lord. It is not the man. We are what we are, as Paul said of himself, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all credit should go to him, and all the bragging ought to be put on the side, because people are idolatrous, and they worship men, and they worship a nation with the patriotic demon that has killed more people, or at least as many people, as religion has. Okay, where do all the wars come from? Yeah. So this text is Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm. Any man, you don't trust in any man. You trust in the Lord. You have a personal relationship with the Lord. Yes, men can teach you how to fear the Lord. Men can teach you the word and so on and so forth. And to the extent that they do teach you the word, that's a good thing. And they teach you to fear the Lord, that's a good thing. But if you put your trust in men, you're going to be disappointed. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness, a salt land not inhabited. So they're not going to see the good. But on the other hand, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh, but its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So the faithful righteous will be safe. They will bear fruit. This is what we're here for. A person don't bear fruit, they're cast forth into outer darkness as unprofitable servants, right? They are not bearing the fruit of the word, not the religion. We're not coming into the image of any religion or any man in the religion or over the religion. We're coming into the image of Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ, who has a name called the Word of God. And Amber received a text, and it speaks about those who claim innocence while rebelling against the word and teaching others to. Yeah, don't let one jot or tittle pass away till it's all fulfilled. Anybody that does this, you know, is going to be cut off from among the people. As Jesus said in Matthew 5, right? So Jeremiah 2:32-37. Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. How trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore even the wicked women hast thou taught thy ways. It's a harlot teaching even the wicked women how to be wicked. And also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the innocent poor. Yes. Who is guilty of the blood of the saints? The harlot, right? Thou didst not find them breaking in, but it is because of all these things. Yet thou saidst, I am innocent. Surely his anger is turned away from me. Behold, I will enter into judgment with thee because thou sayest, I have not sinned. It's true. It's true. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou shalt be ashamed of Egypt also, and thou was, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. From thence also shalt thou go forth with thy hands upon thy head. I think he's talking about Babylon now, right? Yeah, Egypt, Assyria, and then Babylon. For the Lord hath rejected those in whom thou trustest, and thou shalt not prosper with them. Yes, Babylonish leaders are leading people to pledge allegiance to Babylon. And this is Debbie Finsky. They sacrifice unto demons, I say, and not God. When your Christianity is skin deep and a reflection of feel-good, prosperous religion, you're going to be judged by tumult and fire. That's what this is saying. Jeremiah 11:15-17. What hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. A lot of that going on in the so-called church. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair with goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon thee. Notice that. Fire. A great tumult. This is what's coming, folks. A great tumult and fire to burn things. as the branches of it are broken, broken off. Eve had a dream recently of two men that she'd parted away from, and she saw this fork in a tree on one limb, two branches, and they were broken off by this, what looked like a huge alligator, probably a leviathan, broke it off. So, for the Lord of hosts, who planted thee, hath pronounced evil against thee because of the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have wrought for themselves in provoking me to anger by offering incense unto Baal. You say, who's Baal today? Well, he is the false Jesus, the one they called Lord. Now, here's an interesting one. This is Shalonda's verse that she got. And I'll just say the demons are going to take out the swine. Luke 8:30-33. And Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, for many demons were entered into him. And they entreated him that he would not command them to depart into the abyss. Now there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. A swine is a creature whose god is his belly. In other words, feeding the flesh is what they love. Just like an awful lot of what we loosely call Christians, feeding the flesh. So here they were, feeding on the mountain, and they entreated him that he would give them leave to enter into them. Now, I got to tell you, recently, in the last few years, God has permitted demons to enter into a bunch of fleshly Christians who are walking in sin and rebellion. And they have been taken over, and they have got the stupid demons just like the demons you see attacking the right wing there. They don't know what they're doing. It doesn't matter. They just know what they hate, and they hate anything right. And he gave them leave. So he let them demons go into him. And the demons came out from the man and entered into the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep into the lake and were drowned. So the demons take out the swine. Then Eve got this word, which I believe speaks of the cause of the coming judgment, which is Christian rebellion against the word. Christians tend to point their finger at the world, but the world has no gift from God to see and understand. The people who are guilty are the people that know to do good and do it not. To them it is sin. And by the way, you know, we can see in this text that those who repent will be spared the loss of salvation. But I got to tell you, they may still die. They may still pay for a judgment, especially if they've known to do good and did it not. So here's the text. Daniel 9:4-19, and her finger was on verse 8. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments. Okay, so confess your sins. When you see these things coming, there's massive judgment coming. Confess your sins. Get right with God. It's the best thing to defend yourselves. Many people are going to run out there to defend themselves. But the only thing they need to do to defend themselves is confess their sins. Repent, right? And they said, "We have sinned and have dealt perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even turning aside from thy precepts and from thine ordinances." That is surely what Christianity has done. It's turned away from the example given to us by Jesus and his apostles. They gave us an example to follow in their steps. Jesus commanded us to follow in their steps. And yet people have made up their own religion and called it Christianity. And it looks nothing like those early disciples. It was called an eternal covenant. Nobody could add to it or take away from it without bringing a curse on themselves, as the last four verses of the book of Revelation tells us. They turned aside from the precepts and from thine ordinances. "Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, that spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Yes, they've all heard it. They've all heard truth and denied it. They've all been pointed to Scripture and denied it and turned away from it. Now these people are polluting the church. They are leaven that has to be removed. They are tares that have to come out from the wheat. They either repent or they'll be counted as tares for eternity. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of face, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And that's, of course, speaking of the apostate leadership of God's people. Jerusalem was the leadership of all the tribes. They were there to represent before the king the tribes of the people. And that's where they were led from. But you see, what is Jerusalem today is totally apostate. I'm not talking about the Jerusalem natural city over there. I'm talking about the spiritual leadership of Christianity, who were grafted into the olive tree and are only Jews by circumcision of their heart, cutting away the flesh of their heart, you see. So to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. Yes, they've been taken into captivity to the nations in which they live. Not talking about the natural Jew. They're just a symbol and a type of the spiritual Jew who has done the same thing. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even turning aside, that they should not obey thy voice. Therefore hath the curse been poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. The curse poured out. You know, Christians believe it's normal to live under the curse. Some of them never known that Jesus became a curse for us so that we didn't have to live under the curse. They've never walked by faith to be delivered from the curse. Read Deuteronomy 28. You want to know what the curse is? We've been delivered from it. But people don't even know that. Their leaders don't teach them that. Their leaders live under the curse, and they teach them that it's normal to live under the curse. The curse is anything detrimental to your life. Any demon that has taken hold of your life, sickness, curse of any kind. Verse 12, and he hath confirmed his word, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Remember, there's a couple of types in there. There is a Jerusalem under the Assyrian Empire, which escaped judgment because of holiness. Then there was Jerusalem under the Babylonian Empire that was conquered by them because they totally apostated, you know. And it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet have we not entreated the favor of the Lord our God? I say, folks, start praying. Start fasting and praying that we should turn from our iniquities and have discernment in thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched over the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all of his works which he doeth, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. In other words, we were saved. We were saved from serving the old man as a bunch of slaves, and has gotten thee renown as at this day. But we have sinned, and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, let thine anger and thy wrath, I pray thee, be turned away from thy city Jerusalem and thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for our iniquities, our fathers, Jerusalem, which is, again, the apostate leadership of Christianity, and thy people are become a reproach to all that are around about us. Yeah, they have no respect for Christianity. I remember when I was younger that there was a lot of respect for Christians, even among the pagans. And they were respectful, you know, and so on, but not anymore. They've seen too much hypocrisy. Now, therefore, O our God, hearken unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. Well, yes, it was desolated in the Babylonian Empire. And, of course, Cyrus, who is Trump, is attempting to bring it back. He's bringing them out of the captivity to Babylon. He's destroying Babylon. For the Lord's sake, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy's sake. Yes, we don't have anything to claim. We have to come boldly before the throne of grace, which is unmerited favor, right? O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, because thy city and thy people that are called by thy name. Now, I pulled out some verses here. I just shared one with you a few minutes ago about basically the harlots' houses of Christianity and the land being burned. So we've been getting this for some time about this burning. Like I said, Dimitri Dudeman saw America burn. He said, get on the mountain, Dimitri, so you'll escape, right? That's Mount Zion. Okay, get on the mountain. Others have had dreams about the burning of America. So I heard one recently about all the people were crying and bemoaning themselves, and there was no food, and there was trouble, and their houses were burned, and things like this. And they said, how did this happen? This didn't have to happen. And what I got from it was, of course, that no, we could repent. We could repent, and this wouldn't have to happen. And that's what God is asking now, even as the enemy approaches. Who knows where the end of this wave is But there's a lot of people coming this way. And they're young men, and that's exactly what happened to Europe and Scandinavia. And their demon-possessed leadership blamed them when they got raped, stabbed, robbed, burned. Crazy, mad people, like we are in the process of getting rid of. So, I mean, now they're trying to do it again. So this is about the land being burned up and the harlots' houses being burned up, right? Shalanda got this, Isaiah 9:17-21. Therefore, the Lord will not rejoice over their young men, neither will he have compassion on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is profane and an evildoer. Well, this is talking about what are considered to be, by some or by themselves, God's people. And every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire. There it is. It devoureth the briars and thorns. Yea, it kindleth in the thickets of the forest. You remember how our land was burning in so many places here not that long ago? And the elite, of course, had hired people to go out there and do that. Yes. Now, what's changed? Nothing, except it's going to be worse. And they roll upward in a column of smoke. There it is. It's all going up in smoke. Things people worked for, the things people loved, their idols, going up in smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land burnt up, and the people are as fuel of fire. No man spareth his brother. And one shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand. They shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Yes, this is through the wrath of the Lord of hosts. Well, why in the world would God judge Christianity? And Amber got this text, Ezekiel 23:40-49. And furthermore, you have sent for men that come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent. And lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself and paint thine eyes and deck thyself with ornaments. Yes, there are many that are welcoming these folks. They think it'll be wonderful. Except when they get the chance, they'll kill them too, for not humbling to Islam or whatever, you know. These people, they all kill each other. Faction just breeds faction. If you got faction against others and you treat others evil, you're going to reap what you sow. And so, of course, that's what they do. And their lands would be a pile of rubble if it wasn't for having oil underneath it, some of them. And sit upon a stately bed with a table prepared before it, whereupon thou didst set mine incense and mine oil. So they used God's incense and oil for the wicked. And the voice of a multitude being at ease was with her, and with men of the common sort were brought drunkards from the wilderness. And they put bracelets upon the hands of them twain, and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Yeah, bunch of traitors. Then said I of her that was old in adulteries, Now will they play the harlot with her, and she with them. And they went in unto her, as they go in unto a harlot. So went they in unto Aholah and unto Aholibah, the lewd women. Yes, and these two women represent the leadership of the apostate people of God, the cities of Samaria, and in the kingdom of Israel, and Jerusalem in the kingdom of Judah, respectively. That's Aholah and Aholibah. A couple of harlots. That's what he's calling his people. The Lord showed me years ago that Judah represent the spirit-filled people because they praise. That's what Judah means, praise. And Samaria, you know, didn't go to Judah into Jerusalem to worship the God whose presence was there. They wouldn't go there, but they were afraid that if the people went there, they would just leave that leadership. So they built the golden calves, and they said, look, this is Jehovah. This is the one that brought us out of the land of Egypt, you know. But it looks nothing like him. Righteous men, they shall judge them with the judgment of adulteresses and with the judgment of women that shed blood, because they are adulteresses. And the blood is in their hands. Yep, the harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints. They did not teach the God's people to fear the Lord. They didn't teach God's people to not depart from the word. They didn't teach God's people to listen to the prophets, etc. For thus saith the Lord, I will bring up a company against them, and will give them to be tossed to and fro and robbed. And the company shall stone them with stones, and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses with fire. What houses? Their churches. They'll stone them with stones, dispatch them with their swords. That's what Charlie and Linda saw. They shall slay their sons and their daughters. That's what Charlie and Linda saw. And burned up their houses with fire. Thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, and all women may be taught not to do after your lewdness. And they shall recompense your lewdness upon you, and you shall bear the sins of your idols, and you shall know that I am the Lord, etc. Well, this burning of the houses, this is in keeping with the northern army in Joel, which we have received was coming many times, burning the land. You know, caterpillars don't burn the land. Come on, folks. These are talking about armies. All of this is talking about an army. And except they were stopped short at Jerusalem, which is the bride. When they came up to Jerusalem, Jerusalem cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard. And that was in Joel 2. And Sennacherib also burned the land with fire, but was stopped at Jerusalem, the bride. Both of these armies were destroyed by God, who was protecting the bride. See in Joel's text about the burning of the land, right? I'll read it to you. Joel 1 and 14. Good advice here. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the old men and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Yeah, cry before they get here. And then verse 16, is not the food cut off before our eyes? That was one of the visions I saw. I read from someone is that there was no food. Everything was burned and there was no food. Crops too, you know. Is not the food cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. Then verse 19, O Lord, to thee do I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The fire and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. Yea, the beasts of the field pant unto thee, for the water brooks are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Okay, so the cattle and the beasts, you know, didn't have anything to eat. They were starving, which, of course, brings the people to starving. And so we remember that Babylon, one of its weapons was starvation against the people of God. And then Joel 2, I'll read 1 through 6. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Holy mountain. Okay, this is a different situation here. Okay. This is holy Jerusalem. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn spread upon the mountains. Think about that. What happens if you have a lot of fires? A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after them, even to the years of many generations. A fire burneth or devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. Yeah, so as they're marching through the land, they're burning it up. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and none hath escaped them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen do they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains do they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array, at their presence the peoples are in anguish and all faces are waxed pale. Flame of fire devours the stubble. Sad thing. This is going to be a sad thing. And one of the visions I heard from someone was that there were people standing around just crying. Their land that was beautiful was burned up. Houses burnt. No food. I think people need to repent now. Joel 2, 9 through 25. I'm still reading about the same invasion. They leap upon the city, they run upon the wall, they climb up into the houses, they enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth quaketh before them, the heavens tremble. Sounds like earthquakes coming, huh? The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. That could be because of the earthquakes or what's causing them, like Planet X. And that, but at any rate, the fires and the smoke would do this too, you know. And the Lord uttereth his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Yet even now, says the Lord, turn ye unto me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Well, there it is. And rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Wow. Wouldn't it be great if people would do that? I wish I believed that they would. There's so much pride, so much arrogance, so much worship of a religion and buildings and people. Who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Blowing a trumpet, of course, is when an enemy is coming. That's when they do that, for sure. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Amen. Let's do it, folks. Pray and fast. Gather the people. Sanctify the assembly. This is most important. Sanctify the assembly. Some people have no interest in being sanctified, and so they will not escape these judgments that are coming. They're living a worldly life. They've, like Ohola and Oholibah, you know, they've committed fornication with the world, and judgment is coming. Sanctify the assembly. Assemble the old men. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts, and let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach, so that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? In other words, look, see, we were able to conquer you. Where's your God, the one you believe in, you trust in? Of course, you can't really trust in God. When you're walking in rebellion, you can trust that he'll whoop you. Then was the Lord jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Yeah, you know, when the enemy army got to Jerusalem, the bride, they had already burned their way through Israel as a type of the church. And it was here that God stopped them, because the bride was holy. And the bride is, of course, spread out through the church, but are the obedient and faithful ones, right? So don't think it's just one group of people here or there or whatever, you know. The bride tends to gather together, especially when God starts delivering them from leaven, because they do desire truth and pray for truth and righteousness, and God starts beginning to deliver them from the leaven, from the tares, separating them. So that happens. And that's why it says, sanctify the assembly. If you want to escape, you got to be holy. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. Well, now, it all burned up, right? But the Lord said he would send it. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate. Yep, they'll have to partake of their own works, right? Its forepart into the eastern sea, and its hinder part into the western sea. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. This is a restoration of all things, right? Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Once again, that's the bride, that's Jerusalem, that's the people whom the beast army had come up to. They had already gone through Israel, they had already conquered them, and the people either fled or they were killed. Their lands were burned, etc., etc. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Okay, revival follows this horde of pyromaniacs. So revival and fruitfulness will follow. Yep, a lot of times with the repentance, with the judgment, there comes repentance, and etc. Let favor be showed to the wicked, they will not learn righteousness, the Bible says. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. Well, none of these carry torches. Instead of making the army the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, make the cankerworm, caterpillar, and palmerworm the army. Yeah, a people who have come to bring destruction. People burn things. And, by the way, the next day, we were still receiving words from the Lord about this. Here's Brandy's word. Those tares, by the way, who are Christians in name only, have to be separated from the wheat. That's what the Lord said. So here's the text that proves it. Ezra 4, 1 through 6. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity were building a temple unto the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, let me ask you this. Why would they be building a temple unto the Lord? Because that temple was burned down. That temple was torn apart. And they were rebuilding it. They were coming out of captivity to the beast again, just like they did in Egypt. Now they're coming out again and rebuilding the kingdom of God, rebuilding the temple of God, which is his people. Then they drew near to Zerubbabel, which means born from Babylon. He was the man-child of his day. And to the heads of fathers' houses, and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God. Okay, there's a lot of people that want to join themselves to you, you know, claiming that they're seeking God. We seek your God as ye do, and we sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us up hither. Yes, these are like the Samaritans who the Assyrians brought in and planted in the land after taking the true Israelites out and planting them in Babylon. So you see, there's this tare sown among the wheat. In type and shadow here. But Zerubbabel and Yeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us in building a house unto our God. They at least understood the difference between those who are Christian in name only. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Yes. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. That's what happens. If you invite them in, they belong to the enemy. and they don't want this built. And they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. And of course, we've had enemies in our midst that did everything they could to break down the wall and stop the building of the temple. And they're wicked enemies. They're like these people here. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, which is Esther's, and Haman, and Mordecai, right? In the beginning of his reign, wrote they an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes. But, you know, Purim came along and saved them. God, through Purim, saved them. Haman was lost. Haman was hung. He who fought against the people of God and destroyed the people of God, just like the faction does, etc. And Judy received Ezekiel 42 and 20. He measured it on the four sides, and it had a wall round about, the length 500, the breadth 500, to make a separation between that which was holy and that which was common. Well, there it is again, just what we got through talking about, right? Separation, which is a word that is the meaning of sanctification. Sanctify the assembly, meaning separate them from the people of the world. So it's a separation between that which is holy and that which is common. Amen. And then Don Laughlin. And I'll say about his text that the spirit of repentance has gone forth to the apostates and met with rebuke and persecution. They have heard, just like in all generations, the words of the prophets. And they have not liked it, and they have fought against it because they were so contrary to God that they couldn't hear him and couldn't see him. And Matthew 17, 11 through 13 is what he got. And he answered and he said, Elijah indeed cometh and shall restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. In other words, in Jesus' day, Elijah had come and they didn't know it. It was John the Baptist. He's the one who preached repentance. And by the way, there's a corporate body of people out there preaching repentance. They've been doing it for a while, very strongly. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but did unto him whatsoever they would. Yep, anybody that preached repentance. You remember the prophets preached repentance. And they too were attacked by the religious folk. What, us be wrong? Not possible, right? Even so shall the Son of Man also suffer of them. And yes, Jesus suffered of them too. And so has the man-child of our day suffered with them. Then understood the disciples that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Amen. And then Leon got Song of Solomon 4:11. Thy lips, O my bride, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Yes, the bride is almost ready to begin the marriage feast. And, of course, the man-child has to be here for that. And then there's two texts here that I already read to you because they pointed out the burning of their houses with fire. Aholah and Aholabah, the lewd women, the burning of their houses with fire. And we've received many other texts, too, that speak of the burning with fire. And I've said to the local brethren here that I believed the churches were going to be burned again, just like they were a few years ago across the nation. And then, of course, Yolanda's text here, too. I won't read both of these since I already did it once. And it's, for wickedness burneth as the fire. It devoureth the briars and thorns. Yea, it kindleth in the thickets of the forest. And they roll upward in a column of smoke. Yep, all that thing that they put their people under the law to build, and it'll go up in smoke. All that the people sacrifice to build goes up in smoke. Because it isn't the building that's important. It's the people. We are the building. And it doesn't matter where you don't have to spend a lot of money in building a fancy building. The money needs to go to bringing people into the kingdom, because they are the building blocks of the real building. So here's Eve's word, Hosea 6, 8 through 11. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity. It is stained with blood, and as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way towards Shechem. Remember, Shechem was the factious people who went against Gideon's sons until they left only one man child left, kind of like Herod killed all the brethren of Jesus, but they missed the one, the most important one. Yes, and the priests are out there murdering God's people, you know. I'm talking about spiritual murdering. They have committed lewdness. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. There, whoredom is found in Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Yes, because they went after a strange God, you know, even though they called him Jehovah. He was not. They're golden calves. And then they made priests out of people who were not ordained to the priesthood. That's a good way to be destroyed, is to have bad leadership. Well, that's what they had, and that's what happened to them. Also, O Judah, there is a harvest appointed for thee when I bring back the captivity of my people. In other words, bring back the people out of captivity. There is a harvest appointed for Judah. Because the people that come back out of captivity, they need to build Jerusalem, Judah. This is the true leadership. So, and then Eve had a personal word that she shared with us too. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful. When you're a faithful person, the Lord is faithful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Debbie Finsky, Ezekiel 12, 21 through 28. People think, oh, this stuff you're talking about, David, it's a long way off. No, it's not. This is the words that the Lord is speaking about, things that are coming down the road. Well, just listen to this word, because we've got this text quite a few times here recently. I think it's saying just what it means. Ezekiel 12, 21 through 28. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man. Of course, Ezekiel was called Son of Man, just like Jesus called himself the Son of Man. And of course, Ezekiel was called up to the throne of God too. Yeah, which is a representation of the man-child of that day. And verse 22 says, Son of Man, what is this proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? other words, they're not coming to pass, so it's not going to happen now. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, the fulfillment of every vision. The days are at hand, the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any false vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. You know, the flattering good stuff. All you want to hear is good stuff. And all they prophesy is good stuff, you know. But no, judgment is coming. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall be performed. It shall be no more deferred. In other words, delayed. It's not going to be delayed. He's going to speak it, and it's going to come to pass. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I speak the word and will perform it, says the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of times that are afar off. They wish. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be deferred any more. But the word which I shall speak shall be performed, says the Lord. It's going to happen. And Sue Farah got a text here, which kind of points out that in apostasy we serve the world, but not the kingdom. Nehemiah 9:36-38. Behold, we are servants this day. And as for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. So they're ruled over by the beast, right? What good is it to be in your land and not have the freedom to follow the Lord? But that's where it ends up. If a person falls into apostasy, won't listen to the prophets, won't listen to the word of God, they go into bondage. And why would we have to do it again? They did it many lesser times, but the world ruling empires was even bigger bondage, you know. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, revived Rome. Yeah. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Yeah. So they plunder the land. They're the ones that get the increase of the land. The people just have enough to get by. And I don't know why these crazy professors want to turn people to communism, because that's exactly what happens there. The fat cats at the top eat really good, and everyone else is poor. Communism makes everybody poor. What fools these people are to lead people into something that all of history has proven does not work. And why do Christians make the same mistake as the forefathers when they can read the history and they know it didn't work? And that every time they departed from the word, they went into trouble, persecution, and ultimately captivity. And also they have power over our bodies, like the Egyptians did, and over our cattle, and at their pleasure. And we are in great distress. Yep, they were slaves in Egypt. And yet for all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, our Levites, and our priests seal unto it. Well, that doesn't mean you're going to obey it, does it? And then Deb got to Hosea 13:12-13. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is laid up in store. You see, a lot of people think because God doesn't judge them quickly, that he's not listening and he's not looking. But you see, they're storing up for the day of wrath, as the Lord has said. It's laid up in store. There's coming a judgment. The people who have heard the word of the Lord, and they have read it and purposely skipped over verses and purposely spoken against people who were sent to them to share words of truth, and turned away from them and even persecuted them and spoke against them, his sin is laid up in store. Verse 13, the sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for it is time he should not tarry in the place of the breaking forth of children. In other words, in the place of bearing fruit. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. And of course, that woman will bear fruit, but they won't be part of it. And Merlene Laughlin received Philippians 2 and 21. For they all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. Well, you know, we can go our way, do our own thing, do what pleases our flesh, and not seek the things of the Lord. And we won't bear the fruit, just like Ephraim. They should not have tarried in the place of the breaking forth of children, right? And Sue Gilbert, 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 9, and God is able to make all grace abound unto you. We should never forget that. Grace just comes by faith. God's able to give you everything you need to do everything you need to do for the kingdom, right? And for your own provision. That ye having always all sufficiency in everything. So God is able to give that to you. But like the vision I shared with you about people crying over the land, their beautiful land that was burned, their houses were burned, and they didn't have any food. Now they were in total captivity. So God can make grace abound so that you have all ability to do every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness abideth forever. This is how we prosper in the Lord. We meet the needs of the people around us, right? And God said, give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Psalm 112, 1 through 10. She also got this verse. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Notice that. The generation, the children of the upright shall be blessed. There is an advantage to being called the upright. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and merciful and righteous. Well is it with the man that dealeth graciously and lendeth. He shall maintain his cause in judgment. So a person that is a giving person, God will bless. He will bear fruit. And he will be preserved through judgment. For he shall never be moved. The righteous shall be had in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Once again, we see that these people have nothing to worry about concerning these things that are coming. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his adversaries. And this will definitely happen. The Lord promises this. Only with thine eyes thou shalt see and behold the reward of the wicked. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the needy. Some people just hoard up, store up, and of course it breeds worms, as we've heard, and or it gets stolen, etc., etc. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the needy, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen. Think about that. The desire of the wicked. They desire a lot. But if they're wicked, they'll perish. And their desire with them. And Denny received Acts 17:22-28. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Ye men of Athens, in all things I perceive that you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, To an unknown God." Well, think about it. There's a lot of people in Christianity that don't know God. They've never actually been born again. And even if they have been born again in spirit, many times they don't go to be born again in soul, which Paul spoke about as a necessity. That's where you bear the fruit of what God gave you freely in your spirit, right? Is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. We need to bear the fruit of Christ, not just receive the seed, but let it grow up and bear fruit in our soul. So to a lot of people, he's an unknown God. "What therefore ye worship in ignorance, this I set forth unto you." Because a lot of people worship those, well, what they call Jesus, but he certainly doesn't look like the Jesus of the Bible. "The God that made the world and all things therein, he being a Lord of heaven and of earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." So, what are they going to try to do over there? You know, build a temple. And in the Christian churches, they build these great temples, which will all be smoke one day, right? "Neither is he served by men's hands as though he needs anything, seeing he himself giveth to all life and breath and all things." Yep, he gives to us. He doesn't need the things that people think he needs, right? "And he made of one," that's Adam, "every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth." What happened to pre-Adamite man? No such thing, is there? "Having determined their appointed seasons and bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." So whatever your situation is, and whatever your habitations are, and whatever your appointed seasons are, you're here to seek after him and to find him. He's not very far. It's not very hard. And if you call upon him and ask him to give you grace and to fill your life with him, things will be different. Things will be better. Not that you still won't have a job to do of offering a sacrifice, a continual burnt offering before him. That's denying yourself to follow him. But the benefits are out of this world. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain even of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And Missy got Habakkuk 1:5-11. Behold, ye among the nations, and look, and wonder marvelously, for I am working a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Yes, you know, we're so comfortable in America. We're set off from the nations by oceans and not invaded as normally many other nations have been many, many times. But now it's happening. And really at the bequest of organized crime called the Democratic Party. And quite a few who've been bought out or bribed out or threatened out from the Republican Party. But it's organized crime. And the people are demon-possessed, totally crazy. And now they want to invade this land with the people that they know will vote for them. Because these are the people that brought them into the land, right? So they know they will vote for them. They don't care that they're going to destroy this land. They don't care that the reason this land has been prosperous is because of the God that it served. They don't care. There's nothing you can do to give this prosperity to a nation who will not serve the Lord. And there's nothing you can do to save this nation unless people do repent and turn to the Lord. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that's those Babylonians, that's a nasty deep state out there, that bitter and hasty nation that marcheth through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Oh, but this is the way crime is reaching for more, covetousness, desiring more all the time. And it doesn't matter what you got to do to get it, right? Just greed. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. I mean, they're very self-righteous, you know. They have a right to do what they're doing. It doesn't matter that they're breaking all the laws and that they're so greedy that they're plundering everything around them and everybody. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen press proudly on. Yea, their horsemen come from afar. They fly as an eagle that hasteth to devour. And they come, all of them, for violence. Yet they don't come to be a blessing, to give. It's to steal and to plunder and to rape and to knife and to burn and to so on. And the set of their faces is forwards, and they gather captives as the sand. It reminds you of the Gulf War, right? Yea, he scoffeth at kings, and princes are a derision unto him. In other words, never respecting the rights of other lands to rule themselves. Might is right? He derideth every stronghold. Again, might is right. For he heapeth up dust and taketh it. Yep, if you got nothing but dust, he'll come after it. Then shall he sweep by as a wind, and shall pass over and be guilty. Even he whose might is his God. And of course, this describes America, the Babylon, more than any other nation out there. Guilty of much blood. And by the grace of God, he is bringing it down. But they're not through yet. They're going to reach out. Yes, we know that we're ultimately going to win this for the short term. But before that, God has somebody he wants to chasten. And that is the people that he has called to be his own, the people he wants for himself, the Christians. And so while he's got this bitter and hasty nation of Babylon, while he has all these vessels of dishonor, he is going to bring a chastening upon his people that is going to deliver God's people from these Babylonish mega churches and their leaders. People are going to have to seek the Lord on their own because God's going to do a separation here. Thank God. We're going to go into the wilderness one day here, and the people have to be willing to follow Moses into the wilderness. And many, they can't see past their leaders that don't know anything about living in the wilderness, nor the only thing they know about is how to live in Egypt and build bricks and build buildings for the Egyptians. And they've got some fine ones out there. But as Moses was told by the Lord, you can't serve God in Egypt. You can only serve him in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of the weakness of man and the strength of God. God did miracles because men were weak. His power is made perfect in weakness. But these people whose God is their might, they think the only way is personal strength. But they all end up in the same place. And God is testing every man to see who it is that's going to obey him. And he's quite willing to give grace to those who ask. So many people struggle and they cry and they moan and they need grace from God. And all they have to do is ask. Nothing doubting. Ask. It's a good time to ask. Judgments are coming our way in this nation and in the other nations. There's good things coming and bad things coming too. So, Father, we ask, we call upon you. We ask for your mercy and your grace to be poured out. We ask that your people who have been not obedient to your word and not obedient to your prophets and not listening nor seeking you, Lord, grant grace to the elect among us. Lord, if a people perish before they have turned to you with all of their heart, they're a waste. They're just a waste. It's gone. The things that they trusted in are all temporal. The men that they trusted in are all temporal. Lord, give grace. Grant repentance to many people, Lord. Send forth prophecy. Send forth words of knowledge and wisdom. Send forth dreams and visions to all of your people to warn them of what is coming, Father. We ask to warn them of what is coming. Have mercy, Lord. Warn your people. Lord, remember our children, wives, husbands, etc., friends, that we have called upon you for and asked that you save. Remember them, Lord. If they perish through these coming things, they will never be saved or grow up in you or bear fruit. Lord, please remember these things. Please, even of your people who are still in the world, they've yet to hear your voice and come out from among them. Even those people, Lord, would you send dreams, visions, revelations, words of knowledge, prophetic people to them to give them a word of the things that are coming, to turn them to you, even at this last minute, Lord. Please remember our prayers that we've put before you, Lord, for the rebellious that we've prayed for. Lord, please let them see, let them hear, let them know that everything around them is temporal, that they're running after, that they're worshiping, that they're bowing down to, and the people to, and their buildings to, and all that. Help them to know, Lord, that this stuff is all temporal. It's all passing away. Lord, I know when people are distracted by their things, many times you take their things away from them, and that's the only way they'll have any time for you. I know that you do that. So, Lord, what must be. You know, we've been asked, is it possible to pray this away? Well, let favor be showed to the wicked. He will not learn righteousness. He will deal wrongfully in the land of the living. Yes. To a large extent, that's the way it is. There's a revival coming. It'll come right after the chastening. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So therefore, chastening has to come to quickly turn people away from their slide into hell. Lord, I ask you to give grace. I ask you to have mercy and to reveal once more to these people who you know you're going to call out of this world and among whom you're going to choose a people in eternity. Lord, I ask you to speak to them very loudly before this total destruction and devastation comes their way. Speak to them very loudly so that they can hear. Draw them unto you. Grant repentance, Lord. Father, I know you're preparing a people to go into the wilderness. You've told us this many times, and you have used us to prepare a place for this, and you're going to do even more of that. We thank you for it. But Lord, people have to be willing to walk away from so many things to do this. And you're quite capable of doing this, Lord. Quite capable of causing people just to give up a love for the world and the things of the world and to walk out into the wilderness. But a lot of people, Lord, have to be delivered of their idols before they will choose to do this. And so, Lord, we're asking you to have mercy and do just that. Deliver your people from the idols. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, so that all these things can be freely given unto us because we're trustworthy. We don't hold them above you. We don't love them above you. So please help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the victory that you've given unto us, O Lord, through Jesus Christ. Lord, if your people just knew and understood that even if they ask of you to give them the nature and the desire to follow you, you will do that. Lord, I ask that you put it in their hearts to pray. We talk to people all the time. Pray. Ask the Lord. Don't worry about what you don't have, or what you don't have to serve the Lord, or what you, the desire that you don't have. Pray and ask the Lord for it. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And Lord, keep our mind in you as the tribulations that come prepare us to go into the wilderness. Thank you so much, Father, for your goodness, your grace to us. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do to deserve your grace. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Well, okay, saints, the Lord bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again. Please be in prayer, faith, repentance, crying out to God, turning to Him with all your heart. As Joel chapter 2 says, spare thy people, O God. Amen. Okay. Good night and God bless.